very, very interesting title from Brother Bill. The title is Psalm 19, A Journey for the End of the Ages. That's Psalm 19, A Journey for the End of the Ages. We ask the Lord's blessing upon you, Brother Bill, and thank you for your service.
Dear brethren, it's such a joy and an honor for Sister Donna and myself to be with you today. And the love of the Portland area Bible students was brought, but we also would like to greet you with a text. And the text is Psalms 34:7. I'd like to read 34:7-8. Psalms 34:7-8. The angel of the Lord encampeth around them that fear him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is a man that trusteth in him. And we also have love from Sister Betty Yon and Sister Bailey Allen. Both wanted their love brought to you. The class did not assign this as a theme discourse, but we did want the spirit of this convention's theme to be a special source of inspiration. Helpful warnings and encouraging thoughts for the church at the end of the age. And our theme text, cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. I'd like to add another text to that. This is a text that was brought in a very thorough way to our attention in North Seattle this year. 2 Peter 3:11. I'll read it from the American Standard Version. Seeing that these things are thus all to be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy living and godliness? For quite a while now, the 19th chapter of Psalm has been stirring in the recesses of our thoughts. And as we were considering how to approach a subject along the lines of the theme for the convention, we read this through this psalm again, and it really opened up a nice framework, a very workable framework, along the lines of this worthy theme. So, Psalms 19, and you might want to put a finger in Psalms 19, has been stirring, it will serve as a guide. A tour guide, if you will, for a journey to gain some encouragements and consider some warnings. Encouragements and warnings for us now who live in the ends of the ages. 1 Corinthians 10:11. We live in the conclusion of the gospel age and at the same time the dawning of the millennial age, the ends of the ages. As a preview, dear brethren, it is hoped that our journey together through Psalms 19 will, one, expand our thoughts to the heavens of his universe, to accentuate Jehovah's transcendent magnificence and power and glory. And as a side effect, we should feel correspondingly humbled by our minuteness in contrast. to the immense scope of divine creation. Secondly, this journey, in order to highlight the sharp concentration of Jehovah's love and power and purpose, will also quickly bring our focus to the realm of His precious blue jewel, our tiny planet Earth. The image of the warmth of His love focused and shining upon His human creation should trigger a loving response from our own hearts towards Him. Next, along this journey, we will be shown a bridegroom, a sure, strong, determined, rejoicing bridegroom. Yes, this is definitely our bridegroom. The glimpse of Him through the lattice of this psalm hopefully will reinvigorate our efforts to make ourselves ready for Him. The next stop on this journey, we will consider and reflect on God's special written revelation of Himself. Here, we hope to be inspired by the impressive power of Jehovah's inspired holy words to produce within us a comprehensive change of character. And so our final destination has some warnings for us to indeed be diligent in applying the power of God's word towards crystallization of our characters. For there is great reward in doing so. So let's begin our journey. Psalms 19, verses 1 to 3. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. These verses lift our thoughts to those times when we've gazed up into the heavens on a clear, dark, starry night. Wrapping the multitude of stars above is a gauzy band we all know as our very own Milky Way galaxy. The Milky Way has approximately 200 billion stars, give or take a few billion. The observable universe has approximately 170 billion galaxies, give or take a few billion. You do the math. That multiplies out to 34 sextillion stars in the observable universe, give or take a few sextillion. That's 34 followed by 21 zeros. No matter where on the surface of the earth you stand, no matter what language is spoken, no matter what the culture, these celestial wonders speak to all humanity without words. But yet, as we will see, they tell a story. Job was reminded of the immense vastness of divine creation in Job 38, 31 through 33. Job 38, 31 through 33, and we'll read from the English Standard Version. Can you bind the change of the Pleiades? Or loose the cords of Orion? Can you lead forth the Maseroth in their season? Or can you guide the bear with his children? Do you know the ordinance of the heavens? Can you establish the rule, their rule on earth? Yet our galaxy is just an average-sized one, slowly, silently spinning here among the other billions of galaxies. Are you feeling a bit tiny? Like a tiny, humble speck, as your mind's eyes gaze out and attempt to take in the immensity of Jehovah's creation. I brought a chart with me. And just if you get a chance, come up and take a look at it. It kind of gives a perspective of where Earth is. But as this part of our journey has its effect of making us feel tiny and humbled, and transitions on to the next, there's a new feeling, a drawing, a warm and loving force pulls us into this vast array of galaxies. As they expand and fall away behind us, ahead lies a small cluster of about 30 galaxies. This cluster grows as we are drawn into it and seems to be coming to just one of those galaxies in particular. And we suspect we know which one that is. As it grows and expands before us, glowing with a light from its billions of suns, it is away from the bright center of that galaxy and towards the outer edge of one of its spiraling arms that we are being drawn towards. Now, as the thousands of stars in this arm expand and fall away, one star lies ahead. And as we draw closer, we are aware of several spherical bodies that surround that bright star. These are very different from one another in size and color. But one of the smaller ones, one strikingly beautiful blue living jewel, appears to be our destination. Psalms 19, verse 4. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world, the inhabited world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. Dear brethren, our home planet Earth has been placed in this vast universe with a degree of loving care and precision that is beyond our finite minds to comprehend. It is near a star of just the right kind, just the right size, at just the right distance. The Earth has been provided a large moon that is unique in our solar system. The tilt of its axis, the nature of its atmosphere, its magnetic field, its molten core, the proportion of land and water, the list goes on and on. There are about 20 such factors that all must be within 10% of a particular value, or life cannot be sustained. The probability of all 20 of such factors coming so precisely together is astronomical. But perhaps the most striking is the precision of Earth's location within this particular galaxy. If Earth was positioned closer to the galactic center, or even closer to the center of the spiraling arm besides which we are located, the increased density and radiation of the stars and cosmic dust would obscure our ability to observe the surrounding universe. The Heavenly Father wanted us to know Him by opening the heavens for us so we could see beyond the bounds of our own galaxy. But there is even more to tell. For our verse speaks of their line and their words, and it is true. On the walls of this tabernacle, or tent, created for our sun, a story is written among the stars. It is a story of God's plans and purposes. And it is only from this precise location within the galaxy that this story can be read. As the sun traverses on the line of its ecliptic within with the distant stars and constellations as they form its backdrop. Along the line of the sun's annual path through the starry background, 12 major constellations tell in sequence of the divine plan, and in this story, God's purpose and grandeur is revealed. Yes, many brethren have found the words of this divine story among these constellations. These constellations can only be seen to tell their story from this unique and specially chosen vantage point. Remember Job 38:32, we read it from ESV. Canst thou lead forth Maseroth in their season? Or can you guide the bear with his young, with its children? Leeser has a most intriguing rendition. Job 38:32 from Leeser. Canst thou bring forth the constellations of the zodiac, each in its season? Or canst thou guide the bear with its young? We all know the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper. These are the constellations Ursa Major and Ursa Minor, the Big Bear and the Little Bear, the bear with its young. Dear brethren, that same divine power that created the vast universe has focused that same loving power so carefully, so precisely, on this tiny blue jewel to provide a special home for His intelligent human creation. Can you imagine this? This same divine, transcendent Creator of the universe wants to dwell here on this tiny planet with us. Revelation 21:3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He shall dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. He must surely and truly love us. And do we not truly want to love Him and demonstrate our love for Him in return? 1 John 4:19. We love Him because He first loved us. Doesn't this little verse now take on a whole new perspective? But His love for us deepens even more and becomes even more precious and personal as we read John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So now, on to our next stop on this journey, we will be introduced to someone special. Psalms 19, verses 5 and 6. Which is a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The sun, as it traverses along the line of its ecliptic with its starry heavenly tabernacle, changes now to a bridegroom. What comes to your mind as you hear these words? Is it Jesus, the husband of the bride and the head of the body? It is a most natural conclusion. But why? It is because we, dear brethren, we who have been privileged to live during the ends of the ages have been given the honor of knowing the story, knowing the rest of the story, the whole story. For as it states on the cover of Volume 2, the time is at hand. Revelations 22:10. The following two texts are found on the title page of that volume. Acts 3:19 to 21. The times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. And 1 Thessalonians 5:1-6. But the times and seasons, brethren, I have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly, or accurately, or yourselves are fully aware, that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. But ye, dear brethren, ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. And how do we know perfectly? How do we know accurately? How have we become fully aware to recognize the identity of this bridegroom? We know because at the time of the bridegroom's return, our Lord's second presence, a wise and faithful servant, was divinely chosen to provide the special and unique keys to unlock the scriptures at just the right time, so we now can fully appreciate and understand the story of God's plans and purposes. A quote from 2nd volume, page 24. He opens unto us by giving us the necessary information as to how the keys of prophecy is to be operated by those desiring to find the treasures of infinite wisdom. And we may unlock the treasures of divine wisdom now. because the morning hour has come. And though it is early and not yet light to the world. The story outlined in the stars, even that story revealed in the Great Pyramid, they cannot be truly understood until this story, found in God's holy word, is unlocked by these specially provided keys. Then the stars and the Great Pyramid will become amazing corroborations that will reinforce the vision to anchor faith, delight hearts, and inspire devotion. But let us return to our bridegroom. The scriptures surely confirm this striking correspondence between the Son and our bridegroom. Luke 17, verse 24. For as the shining that lighteneth out of one part under heaven and shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. This text shows how our Lord Jesus, as does the Son, will bring light after darkness, joy in the morning, warm the hearts of the watchers, and purify the souls of the willing. As a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, it says in the psalm, this chamber from which the bridegroom emerges is a bridal chamber. So he comes with his bride. This lifts the hope of our hearts and projects them to a time when he shall appear. And we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. 1 John 3:2. Although we are still this side of the veil, and the marriage has not yet happened, we are still given insights and glimpses of our dear Lord and Bridegroom. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 9. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. Here the lattice is scriptural prophecy, such as this Psalms chapter 19, that allows us to discern the majesty and grace of our invisible Lord and Bridegroom. This Bridegroom rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. And our Bridegroom is indeed strong. He is as a strong man as he himself declares, Matthew 28, verse 18. Matthew 28, 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And he rejoiceth, as we read in Hebrews 12, 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. What a motivation for our Lord was the prospect, the joyous prospect that carried him through the ignominy and pain of his earthly ministry and sacrifice. Brethren, may our own prospect of being united with our bridegroom and used as agents for the recovery, uplift, and enlightenment of humanity. May that joyous prospect carry us through the trials and testings of our consecrated sacrifice. And it also states, there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Nothing can be hidden or escape from the heat of the Sun of Righteousness. 1 Corinthians 4:5. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart, and then shall every man have praise of God. Heat. Heat can heal, it can purify, and it can also destroy. Malachi 4:1-2. For behold, a day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly, shall be as stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Sun of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and shall go forth and grow up as calves in the stall, and ye shall go forth. As this portion of our journey comes to an end, let us consider Isaiah 61, verse 10. Isaiah 61, 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. Yes, dear brethren, let us be diligent to adorn ourselves with graces of character, the fruits of the Spirit. Proverbs 3:3. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Dear brethren, let us make ourselves ready for him. Let us now go on in our journey together. Psalms 19, verses 7 to 10. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey, the honey of the honeycomb. The previous stop on our journey gave us pause to consider, admire, and be inspired by our strong, focused, loving bridegroom. At this current destination on our journey, it will allow us to pause and consider Jehovah's written revelation of himself. These revelations are wise, powerful, loving, and righteous. And they can affect within us a comprehensive transformation of character. To have their fullest transforming influence, they must be fully understood in the right way, in the right light. And to be fully understood, they must be unlocked with those special keys provided by the author of these holy words, provided for this time at the juncture of the ages. The first two verses, 7 and 8, delineate four aspects of God's holy word. We will not attempt to identify and distinguish these four. The focus here will be on how, if we immerse ourselves in this word, how they can have such a complete transforming influence within us. First of all, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The use of the word soul here covers the entirety of our being. Every aspect of our life is encompassed. Other translations have restoring the soul, reviving the soul, quieting the soul, and refreshing the soul. Only God's truth can produce such soul conversion. As our Lord indicates in John 17, verse 17, sanctify them through thy word is truth. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. God's holy word is the critical, crucial channel for the wisdom from above. The testimony of divine revelation is not doubtful, but clear and positive, making wise the single-hearted who have no plan of their own, but who seek the Lord's will only. 2 Timothy 3:15 through 17. The Holy Scriptures are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Next, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. We come to truly know and understand our Heavenly Father through His gracious word. And through that word, we know and understand that He knows and understands us. Psalms 31, verse 7. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities. Certainly this awareness of His awareness and loving protective cares brings comfort and joy to our hearts. So from His words, from His statutes, our hearts are rejoiced. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Ephesians 1:18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what the hope of this calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Our eyes, anointed by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God, have been enabled to see in unique and marvelous ways. We can see into the future. We can perceive the invisible. The enlightened eyes of the new creation are blessed eyes, eyes of faith. Verses 9 and 10 speak well for themselves. Let us read them again and allow the spirit of their message to inspire us to an ever greater connection and immersion into Jehovah's written revelation, so its power can complete our transformation. And we'll read it this time from the Young's Literal Translation, Psalms 19:9-10. The fear of the Lord, the fear of Jehovah is clean, standing to the age. The judgments of Jehovah are true; they have been righteous together. They are more desirable than gold, yea, than much fine gold, and sweeter than honey, even the liquid honey of the comb. So far, our journey has been full of encouragements. Now, at this final destination, we are gently cautioned and warned. Psalms 19, verses 11 through 14. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins, and let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. By them is thy servant warned. By them reflects us back to the judgment and decrees of God that are accepted into a responsive heart, stimulated by reverential fear. Such will give all diligence to add to their faith the virtues of grace, as we find in 2 Peter 1:5-7. In keeping of them, there is great reward. The Apostle Peter really got it. He really captured the essence of this psalm here in 2 Peter 1. We'll read verses 10 and 11. 2 Peter 1:10-11. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Presumptuous sins. An example would be that it would be presumptuous to think that we could improve upon those originally provided keys to the combination time lock set by the great designer and make better ones. A warning is that such presumption could cause those original keys to be devalued, set aside, and replaced. Let not the inspiration of that original message that was unlocked for us by that original messenger ever be replaced or lost sight of. Let us never lose the excitement of our first love. As the author of this psalm sounds the concluding warning, a special prayer follows in response. Considering that prayer, if one verse might summarize the essence of this warning, it would be Jeremiah 17, verse 9. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So, dear brethren, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Proverbs 4:23. And dear brethren, let us examine ourselves in the light of God's holy words with humble, contrite honesty, and thus allow the counsel of these wise words to guide and motivate our new wills to be in sync and in harmony with God's will. And heed this warning in regard to our faults. Seek forgiveness through Christ's merit and ask for help and strength from above to overcome. Well, this has been quite a journey. Do you feel tiny and humbled when you ponder the grandness of Jehovah's universe? But do you also feel loved, realizing the precise focus of God's desire and care for his human creation? Do you feel renewed determination to make yourself ready for our bridegroom? Do you want to immerse yourself in God's holy word to realize its transforming power? Do you feel honored that the divine author has provided you keys to unlock the full scope, harmony, and beauty of his plan? Do you feel warned in regard to the critical need to diligently examine and guard our hearts? If so, this has been a good journey. May the Lord have its blessing.
Thank you, Brother Bill, for taking us on that journey. And still there's more to follow. Brother Bill has asked we close with him 130. Then we'll have just an announcement or two, and then we'll fellowship till 11:30. So let's close with him 130, and then we'll ask Brother Bill to close with prayer after that.
Dear, most gracious, powerful, all-wise, loving Heavenly Father, we bow before Thee, humbled and thankful for the love and care that Thou hast showered upon us. Dear Lord, we are absolutely nothing without the strength and guidance and indwelling of Your Holy Spirit. Please forgive anything said or done amiss, and we pray for Thy Spirit to continue with us